This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
China's genius is to look to the future and find answers for all of us. However, I welcome Glenn Tiffert and Jeff Stoff. Their new report, Eyes Wide Open, Ethical Risks in Research Collaboration with China. Glenn Tiffert is a Hoover Research Fellow heading up the Project on China's Global Sharp Power. Jeff Stoff is founder of Redcliffe Enterprises after many years with the U.S. government. Gentlemen, a very good evening to you. This is science fiction. And to give everyone an understanding of where we're headed, this is Blade Runner. This is the ability to very carefully surveil mankind and imagine what it is that the brain does so that you can anticipate it. That is one direction. The other parts of this are recognizable to us who own a new iPhone, facial recognition, but that's the mundane version. The concern here is ethics and malign conduct from what appears to be a benign research. Glenn, I start with you because we need definitions here. Right now, there is concern about mass surveillance in China. What is the mission of your very careful document, all the explication of these Chinese entities? Good evening to you, Glenn.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, John. The mission of the report really is to raise consciousness in our research community and in our research enterprise, and even more broadly within government and the public, about how the wealth and range of collaboration with China that we have in scientific research has many beneficial byproducts. But because the nature of that collaboration involves collaborating with entities in what is an authoritarian state, there is often a darker side to that research that goes unacknowledged, underappreciated, and we need to adopt safeguards to ensure that when we pursue research with partners in authoritarian nations, we do so in ways that comport with our democratic values, our ethics, and our sense of what human rights should be.
Jeff, what surprised you in compiling this enormous amount of data? You are long experienced in these avenues. Was there something new that you found all of a moment, a revelation about what China is aiming to do in the 21st century?
Thank you, John, for having me. I think it was hard to get my head around, the scale and the scope of what they're doing in innovation in a way that's quite troubling in terms of applying artificial intelligence and machine learning and pattern recognition that they can scale for mass surveillance on levels that I think are not well understood or paid attention to in the U.S. For example, having capabilities of gait recognition, a person's the way they walk, right? And being able to detect from a distance, fully covered, masked, nighttime, et cetera, could pinpoint who an individual is anywhere at any time, and extrapolate that across a whole range of disciplines. And this is just one institute. And so it's really hard. It was hard for me to really get my head around the implications of this. And it's quite disturbing.
Welcome to the Chinese Academy of Sciences Institute of Automation, CASIA. Glenn, we need a little history here. It was founded in 1956 in another world, pre-digital, pre-Apple, pre-everything. It transformed itself into attached to what appears to be Space Control, Space Institute in 1968. In 1970, it took up, I'm following your reporting, gentlemen, CASIA took up the name CASIA, what we call it today. However, at that point, they were bragging about having created two bombs and one satellite. What the heck are they talking about, Glenn?
Right. So the two bombs and one satellite program was China's attempt to develop the atomic and hydrogen bomb and a missile program to deliver those. And this was a major initiative on the part of the PRC military in the 1960s. They relied originally on some early Soviet designs and on a scientist, actually, who had a career here in the United States, who returned to China in the mid-1950s, Chen Shui-sun. He was a brilliant engineer at Caltech, in fact. And in many ways, you know, his experience foreshadowed some of the challenges that we're facing today with how to integrate the tremendous talent pool that China generates into our global research enterprise in a way that doesn't jeopardize our national security. But so CASIA's origins lie originally with the Chinese military, as do so many high-tech enterprises in China. But then it began to expand beyond that. And CASIA now is one of the primary institutes for artificial intelligence research in China. It's a global hub. It's widely respected internationally, and it generates a tremendous amount of talent.
There are 1,062 full-time employees, 663 graduates, 113 professors, and 59 postdocs. In other words, it looks like a think tank, looks like a university. Yeah. But Jeff, I come to you on this because what we're dealing with is an organization, an entity that is suspect of contributing to mass surveillance directed against the Chinese people and others. In particular, you mentioned the Uyghurs being brutalized in Xinjiang with concentration camps and with daily checks. That development, is that of recent origin, Jeff? Does that date back to the 20th century? Is that something that it's just come up because of the Chinese leadership's decision? Do you know?
Yeah, no, I don't actively follow all the human rights abuses that have been going on. I think it's really been mostly the past decade or so in terms of what China is doing, particularly against the Uyghur Muslim minorities in Xinjiang. And creating these labor, education, basically concentration camps, and the horrifying human rights abuses reported. And that's been somewhat more recent, I would say, over the last decade or so or less. But what we do know, there's been a lot of reporting from human rights NGOs and other journalism to show that area where they're deploying and rounding up Uyghurs, has basically been a testbed for developing a lot of these surveillance technologies, deploying this research in a way to, you know, monitor every action, every aspect of these minorities in Xinjiang. And as a result of this hotbed of testing surveillance technologies, they can now deploy that, and they are, around the rest of China and export it around the world. And this CASIA appears to play a very important role in the underlying research and innovation ecosystem that has supplied that. And the last thing I'll mention is CASIA, you know, CASIA, you have to understand, is part of the Chinese Academy of Sciences, which is a central government organ. And so by design, it's going to abide by and develop priorities of the party state.
The concern here is that there are entities within CASIA that are very difficult to determine whether they're malign or benign. And Glenn, I come to you because I can see how this all turns into the fog of think tanks. We have the concerns for mass surveillance, that's obvious. And vetting, pre-criminal vetting, certainly sounds like Philip K. Dick, pre-crime to the rescue. But otherwise, They're networking with global researching and global labs and global technology and software firms. And I think you make the point that it is very difficult to determine if you're working for research or whether you're working for the People's Liberation Army. Are there resources that can vet better than we have in the past? Or is this something that's beyond our reach right now to find out who this person really is?
Right, John. I mean, one of the goals for this report was to kind of raise the idea that we should not be mirror imaging what looks familiar to us here at home and projecting that on China. Because China has such a fundamentally different political system, the same backstops with regard to civil and human rights and civil liberties do not apply that we can almost take for granted here because we have a free press that can expose the kinds of violations that are occurring routinely in China. And so in China, it's not quite a question of benign or malign. You can have both of these things happening within the same institute because, as Jeff said, it exists to serve the interests of the Chinese party state. And so you have these entities like CSIA, which is a globally recognized prestigious institute of research in brain science and artificial intelligence, collaborates with all the best universities globally, sends postdocs abroad to study, they publish in journals. It looks like a place, if you're a world-class researcher in the United States or in Europe or Japan, it looks like exactly the kind of place you'd want to partner with to move the frontiers of human knowledge forward, you know, to develop solutions for brain diseases. And in fact, they do have all of that. But there is this darker side of what they do because they exist in this different political context, which has different priorities than our own. And so when we did this report, it was partly to say that, you know, when we partner with authoritarian nations like China, not exclusively China, but like China as an example, we need to start thinking about how different rules apply. And so CSIA is kind of a dual entity. It has this aspect of it that looks really familiar to us, like an MIT or a Carnegie Mellon or a Berkeley or Stanford. And then there is a police state aspect to it, too. And they're all kind of bound up into one entity. We don't really have the resources necessary or the conceptual frameworks yet to appropriately wrap our minds around that and vet institutions like that. Part of what Jeff and I are trying to do is develop that capacity.
I'm speaking to... Oh, go ahead, Jeff.
Go ahead. Jen, I just want to add, you know, what we did in this report, we have an appendix with a methodology, is to really try to do exactly what Glenn is saying, is build a process for U.S. institutions and our democratic allies to really do the kind of extensive due diligence that's required, you know, where you really have to dig. And a quick example is the fact that you have to really look at what these institutions are doing domestically, the type of research they're producing on their own, even without, you know, not what they're... It's one thing to look at what they're doing in collaboration internationally, but what is it that they're doing at home? And who do they partner with and who's funding their efforts? And it's that level of due diligence that's really needed. And we provide a framework for that.
I'm speaking with Jeff Stoff and Glenn Tiffert. They are the authors, the compilers, the researchers, the overwhelming detailed providers for a new report available at the Hoover Institution, Eyes Wide Open, Ethical Risks in Research Collaboration with China. When we come back, private enterprises, apparently, are engaged in all of these activities linked to CSIA. Who are they? What are they doing? This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Bashaw.